Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror in San Francisco. Today, there was a possibly significant development in the terrifying case of the man who calls himself Zodiac and has boasted that he is responsible for 5 murders in the last 9 months. In Zodiac's latest letter last week, he threatened to make a busload of school children his next victims. Since then, school buses have been discreetly guarded, and parents' fears have openly risen. This morning,
will you talk about how you got to the point you're at today, to go from an anonymous guy living in Louisiana to having a newly released book out where you claim your father was the Zodiac killer?
When I set out on my journey to discover my complete identity, being an adopted person all my life, it was one of the greatest things, one of the greatest opportunities I've ever had. You know, in Louisiana, adoption records were sealed after my birth. So even if I wanted to search for my biological family, I had no way of searching. I didn't even have a name. So when my mother came looking for me 12 years ago, it was such an exciting time for me to be able to finally maybe connect the dots and find out, you know, why I looked the way I did, why I talked the way I did. And so after deciding that I needed to find my biological father, at that point, still hoping that he were alive to have a similar experience with him, there's a sense of fulfillment and peace about meeting someone who had a big part in your past and having lived all those years with that emptiness, that lack of knowledge, and finally meeting them face to face and putting the pieces that were missing together. So, of course, my search and what I found about my biological father did not have the same happy ending as me reuniting with my mother, of course. Mm-hmm. But it was still important to me. Still important to me to go back and meet my father's family in the Carolinas and meet his friends from high school to try to get a better sense of who he was. And unfortunately, that involved his criminal records in the San Francisco Police Department. And even without the finding at the end that I am beyond convinced that my father was in fact the Zodiac killer, I still had a great story to tell. Mm-hmm. I still had a great journey, a great emotional, honest, maybe naive at times, desire to get burning desire to get to the truth and meet this man who would, you know, it contributed to my life. So going from a questioning adopted child all the way up until age 39, and then coming to the realization a couple of years later of who my father was, it's hard to put into words how that feels. To be nobody one day and knowing your story is coming out the next day, and then to being on CNN that same week is just, it's, you know, it's happened so fast, Matt, that I have not had a moment to sit back and reflect on everywhere we've been and every conversation I've had over the past 3 weeks, which is what it's been since the book came out.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, even without the Zodiac angle, your father's life would have been worthy of a book, I think.
You know, I've told my wife many times before, as a joke or just in conversation, that I feel like I was born a cartoon character, because if you've seen the newspaper articles from the San Francisco Chronicle that documented my parents' illicit love affair from the beginning at the ice cream parlor to then an abandoned baby showing up in Baton Rouge in black and white, you know, who were the parents of this abandoned tot? I feel like, you know, I was born a cartoon character. So even there have been times over the past few years where I've consulted with friends and close people close to me about sharing this story, even to the point of saying, you know what, leave the Zodiac part out. And it's like, you know, I set out the first day I talked to my mother, I spoke to my mother on the phone. I told her, I want the complete truth. my journey is not to sensationalize a story, whether it's a cartoon story from my beginnings to a true crime ending as a result of a guy going looking for his birth parents. I want the truth. And I couldn't, in good conscience, publish a book, self-publish a book, about part of my story, because at the end of the day, for me, my story is personal, and it's my relationship with the father that I never knew, but the father who chose to abuse and abandon me. And if I left anything out, I think I would be doing myself and my family and everyone else involved in this now national, notorious serial killer saga a disservice by just sharing a partial truth. I never wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm. If you had to like lay it out there, what do you think is the most compelling evidence specifically about your father that made you come to the conclusion that he was the Zodiac killer?
I guess it took me a while to go back and look at the ciphers, right? Because I was looking for personal things about my father and what he did or who he knew or how he treated people, what he did with me, to try to track him down and find out his motivation. But then when I saw the wanted poster of the Zodiac killer and the SFPD from 1969 and compared that to my father's mugshot, I just had to think, you know, that I was told by people in the SFPD that what was in my father's file was so heinous it would destroy me. Well, you know, heinous, but why, if what he did was so heinous, why wasn't he caught, arrested, and convicted for that? Mm-hmm. Simply because they didn't have enough on him. For whatever it was that they had in the file that he did, they could not nail him down. So, to me, I had to go back, trying to disprove that one possibility that he might have been the Zodiac killer. I went to the letters and saw instantly the most sophisticated ciphers that the Zodiac ever sent to the newspapers was the first cipher that was a 408. In three parts, he sent a cryptic message that part of it translated, paraphrased, says, "I like killing man more than the wild animals in the forest because man is the most dangerous animal of all." And, you know, unfortunately for him, for his ego standpoint, some high school teachers cracked that hidden message. Mm-hmm. But a few weeks later, he wrote back to the papers and said, "You know, if you crack this cipher, you will have my identity." I believe everyone stopped short of looking for an identity, and they just thought that every subsequent cipher that he would send to the press would have a hidden message, when in fact there were no more hidden messages. Everything from that point on, when he realized in his arrogance that they cracked the message, but they still don't have a clue who I am. Finding my father's name completely, perfectly spelled out with no misspellings, no substitution of letters, E.V. Best Jr. and Earl Van Best Jr. and Earl Van Best Jr. spelled out in three separate ciphers, and coupled with the fact that he targeted Paul Avery, who was one of the journalists on the crime beat back in the early 60s and in the Zodiac Killer days, who happened to author and pen the ice cream romance saga, the illicit love affair between my parents.
Yeah, I thought that part was really interesting.
It's a personal thing for him, right? At that point, he's very confident because nobody's looking for his name. And by the way, at that time, Avery's forgotten about him. I think that's very significant, the fact that he sent Avery a personal letter, you know, from your pal, your secret pal, and hinted about my mother's age at the time, that he humiliated my father by saying he fell in love in an ice cream parlor. The only problem was she was 14. And he put that in that greeting card to Paul Avery. Things that are obvious to a son that comes back with all he knows about his father, but not so obvious to investigators who had long since forgotten about Earl Van Best and his crimes.
Right. And I guess for people listening, you should, the age difference, your father was 27 and your mom was 14, right?
Right. When they married, that was their ages.
Yeah. Before you started doing all this research, did you know much about the Zodiac Killer, or did you even know anything at all?
You know, I had heard the term once, and it just so happened that in Baton Rouge in 2002, when I first met my mother in San Francisco, I took a job offer at Benicia, San Francisco Bay Area company, to open an office to do that business in Louisiana. And when I flew out for my first meeting with my mother, and then subsequently the meeting and orientation at my new employment that same week, when I got in the car to go to lunch with my new colleagues, one of the guys, who's now a dear friend, retired, made the statement to me, "So I hear we got an office in Baton Rouge now, Stuart. I thought all you guys had down there were serial killers and the West Nile virus," meaning the world knew of the two serial killers operating in Baton Rouge at the time, and there was an outbreak in May and June of the West Nile virus down here. He said, I just laughed it off because, right, I'm on my first day at this new job. I'm trying to get to know these people and figure out what my work's purpose is going to be. And this guy makes a remark about serial killers. He said, "Well, if you don't know, we had one of our own back in the 60s. In fact, his first murder in the Bay Area is on this very road where our office is today." And as it turns out, the street address of my office in Benicia dead ends into Lake Herman Road. Mm-hmm. And he said the guy called himself Zodiac. You know what? That went in one ear and out the other, because I was about to have lunch with six colleagues who I'd never met before and trying to figure out how to be a successful businessman for that company here in Baton Rouge. I never thought about it again until 2004.
Mm-hmm. Arthur Lee Allen has been a prime suspect in this investigation for a lot of years. What do you think of him as a suspect after you've done all your own research?
You know, the guy, I've seen the interviews, right? I've read Robert Graysmith's books. I've followed as much information on the web that's been available for the past 10 years. And you know, I believe the guy was just sincere when he made the statement, "I'm not the Zodiac." And he said, in his quote as having said, "You know, I know who the Zodiac is. He's some crazy man in a Atascadero." Mm-hmm. And I just thought at the time when you know, that I made a mental note of that. And when I finally got around to having the head of homicide of the San Francisco Police Department, Lieutenant John Hennessy, back in 2004, take a look at my evidence and then offer to have me come visit his office, before I knew anything, I told him, I said, "You know, Lieutenant, I don't know anything about what's in my father's file because Butler in Internal Affairs has refused to share that information with my mother, but I bet you're going to find in my father's file that he was incarcerated in Atascadero." And he came back and said, "Gary, you were right."
Which is a mental hospital, right?
It was, and I think it's being changed now, but back in the 60s, it was a mental institution for the sexually and criminally deviant males.
Mm-hmm. Is there any doubt in your mind when you know, have gone over the evidence and everything, is there any doubt in your mind that your dad was the one?
Not at all. Everything, most of the information that I've uncovered over the years is actually in my book. But there are other pieces of evidence that, for whatever reason or another, because, you know, we went through a traditional publisher, HarperCollins, mm-hmm. and, you know, their editing process is to shorten and minimize the amount of ink space that you have, because the longer you drag something out, the risk of losing your audience increases. So there's so many things, and one of the most significant for me is the fact that, you know, you have all these speculators over the years that say, you know, you would think by now that he either died and somebody, a relative going through his belongings, would find a piece of Paul Stein's shirt or some evidence, some cryptic codes, or he would be old and in prison, a life sentence, and have a deathbed confession.
Mm-hmm.
None of that ever happened. And my father's case, his demise, was the perfect storm. He disappeared without a trace and vacated his apartment building in Long Beach, where in 1984, some 20 years after the Zodiac killings, and hundreds of miles displaced from the epicenter of the Zodiac crime, San Francisco, no one would be thinking about looking for Zodiac evidence when the landlord and the manager of the building he never returned to went to go through his stuff and put it out on the street for a yard sale or turned it over to a Goodwill organization.
Right. I thought another pretty interesting connection was the Anton LaVey connection that him and your father had. Can you talk about that a little bit?
You know, my father's side of the family is they're musically inclined. His father was not only a minister but an accomplished keyboard player, organ player, and his mother was actually a music teacher, piano and voice instructor. So it came quite naturally to my father. My father's friend in the Bay Area that I got real close to over the years, and he's now since deceased, one of the first things he told me was there were very few accomplished organists in the Bay Area at the time, and your father was one of them. And he loved to play all of his music in the style of Bach, and he told me of playing at Grace Cathedral from time to time in the Avenue Theater and the Lost Weekend Tavern and his association with Anton LaVey and meeting his first wife at San Francisco City College back about the time he knew LaVey. So, yeah, that struck me as odd in the beginning, but it just solidifies my confidence in the circles that he revolved in those days.
And San Francisco PD went to Anton LaVey when all this was going on because they thought that it might have been somebody who was a follower of his or that he was associated with in some way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know the exact site, but there is a YouTube video about a true crime documentary where Paul Avery, at this time later in life, maybe in the 90s, was interviewed for that program, and he actually said, you know, one time Anton LaVey called me and said, I know who the Zodiac is, and Paul Avery said, he gave me information, but of course nothing ever panned out. I would just love to know. I would love to have Paul Avery alive and well to be able to speak to him today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you just talk a little bit about San Francisco Police Department's role in this whole thing and how they've kind of stonewalled you in a lot of ways?
You know, I went to my mother for information on my father, and not thinking for a moment about her having married Rotea Guilford, the homicide inspector in the San Francisco Police Department back in the 70s, who actually worked the Zodiac case, that her intentions by going to the SFPD were not just that, an attempt to help find a missing person. What better place to go, right, than the SFPD, especially if you can go to your former friends and former husband's colleagues in the department. So it didn't strike me as odd. And so one of Rotea's understudies, Harold Butler, in Internal Affairs, is a guy who came back and gave us the information. And Harold honestly didn't know whether my father was still alive or not. He suggested I contact Social Security and track him down, and I did, and reported back that my father was deceased. But their statement about what he did was so heinous it would destroy you kept running through my mind as I ran into one dead end after another. And then after they wouldn't cooperate with my mother, right, their friend, after I reported that I have proof my father's dead, why not tell me the truth now? When they basically shut me down and encouraged me not to pursue this and get on with my life, I did, until 3 months later when I saw that wanted poster. And, you know, I contacted the lieutenant, Sergeant Butler at that time. I said, now I think I know what you're talking about that was so heinous, and I would be glad to show up in San Francisco at your office tomorrow to discuss this. He told my mother He didn't respond to me. I never heard from Butler again. He told my mother that, no, Judy, tell Gary not to worry about that. The Zodiac case is closed, and we know who did it. We got the guy. He was some guy who died about 10 years ago, and the case is closed. Referring to author Lee Allen, of course. Mm-hmm. When I started researching that comment, I found out that the case was closed, but it was not solved. And there was a note saying, if anybody has any credible leads, please contact Lieutenant John Hennessy at the SFPD. And I did. And I met him, and I presented information to him. And when he found out that my mother's former husband, Rotea Guilford, was an inspector involved in the Zodiac case, his eyebrows kind of went up, saying, you know what? Maybe there's something to this. So he agreed to go around the stone wall and get right down to it, because in 2003, Sidney Holt, the head of the crime lab, or one of the crime lab technicians who eventually became the crime lab director for the SFPD, extracted a partial profile that they were fairly confident at the time from the stamps and the envelope flaps that was a partial profile. Having had contact at some point in time with the perpetrator, with the author of the letters. In 2004, Hennessy was so confident in that sample and in my evidence that he went against the grain, chose to covertly open up a case and have me swabbed to compare my DNA with the profile they had on file for the Zodiac Killer. It was then at that point that I had a little confidence about everything going on. I shared with my mother, you know, Mom, maybe Butler and Sanders didn't give us the answers we wanted, but Lieutenant Hennessy believes in me. I don't know, and it's just a thought that my mother took that directly to her friend Harold Butler and told him, look, Gary's gone around you. My mother came back and said she thought that their cover-up was to protect the reputation of the late Rotea Guilford, not at all to protect me from the evil that my father had done. Mm-hmm. All I know after that is Hennessy is no longer the head of homicide. He is now in special investigations. The man who vowed to me after hearing my story and being what I consider a friend, not just an acquaintance, over a two-year period, this man knew about my family and I knew about his, and I could call him anytime I was in town and we would chat, and he would always say, Gare, one thing I promise to do for you is run this DNA to give you closure one way or another, because I want that for you and I want that for your family. For him to absolutely disappear off the face of the earth after all that time and all those commitments is more than just strange to me. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I never hear from him again. He won't return a phone call or an email. And the next thing I know, he's retired.
Hmm. So where do you go next with this? You know, what are your future plans?
You know, when the story first broke and the book was released on the 13th, the SFPD, who by now understand, are all mostly new folks in homicide and all of those positions I had dealt with previously. Their first statement, without having read the book, is that, you know, the case is still an open case, and if anyone, including Mr. Stewart, has any information, they need to come forward. I didn't respond to that at all, because I wanted to give them a fair amount of time to read my story and read that, you know what, 10 years earlier, I did come forward. And 10 years earlier, one of your own believed in me and actually swabbed me. And here's the proof. So now, 10 years later, I'm coming forward again. I've published my story, and I'll wait for your response. And since then, last week, I believe, my biological mother said, you know, honey, I'm sorry that I did not stand with you for the People magazine article. And now I realize that I should have. And she actually reached out to the inspector in the SFPD over cold case files now, and who also, of course, is over the Zodiac investigation. I believe his name is Inspector Gianrico Pirucci, who promised her that he is committed to follow up on every lead, including her information and her phone call. I have yet to hear from the SFPD. I heard last week that Dave Toskey, the former infamous inspector over the Zodiac case with Bill Armstrong back in the 60s and 70s, has took a keen interest in my story and made a comment to a UK publication that he's going to take a close look at this. So I'm hoping, and even since then, the San Francisco Chronicle, the journalist Kevin Fagan, who's on the Zodiac beat and has been for years since Duffy Jennings has been gone, interviewed me for a Chronicle story as well as Lieutenant Hennessy, and I was very pleased with what, well, now Captain retired Hennessy, said about his relationship with me. He basically said there wasn't enough solid evidence on hand to nail down a case, but we didn't kiss him off. He was a very nice man, very well-spoken, and I think he was sincere in his belief that his father was a Zodiac. But there wasn't enough to move on quickly, and the reality is that without hard evidence, it's hard to prove a case. My question is, you had the DNA, and you promised to get back to me, and I'm still waiting.
Yeah. Well, I hope everybody goes out and reads the book, and I really enjoyed it. And thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to me. I know you have a million interviews to do.
Well, I appreciate you reaching out, and it was a pleasure to be on your show, Matt.
When I look out my window, many sights to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be, that it's strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every stitch. Must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch, yeah. Must be the season of the witch. When I look over my shoulder, what do you think I see? Summer cat looking over his shoulder at me, and he's strange, sure is strange. You got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every stitch, yeah. Beatniks out to make it rich. Oh no, must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch, yeah. Must be the season of the witch. When I look out my window, What do you think I see? And when I look in my window, so many different people to be.